You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Tuesday, 13 April. I'm Simon Brown coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Wayne McCurry, talking markets. Another red day in the market. I want to ask Wayne if markets are looking maybe a little bit tired. Josiah Rudolph from Anchor, switching from value to momentum, and Vickers Fristenberg. And bond bears show their face. Yesterday's poll, we were asking you about those results from Purple Group. Obviously, they own Easy Equities. We asked if the results changed your mind on the stock. Are you buying more? 51% said yes. Selling, 6% came in there. Happy holding, that was me at 31%, and not for you at all, 12% voted. MoneyWeb Now brought to you by Orbvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper-focus on acquiring stable income-producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use Orbvest's online platform to invest directly into low-risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche in the USA, from as little as $5,000. Some morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Absa closes their money market fund. This is an 80 billion rand fund, which they are shutting down. No nefarious reasons, just a bit. No longer a business they want to be in, I suppose, send you to their bank accounts. And from CNBC, China says exports jumped 30.6% in March, that from March last year. That actually missed expectations. And of course, it's a giant number. But remember, last year, March, China was in very hard lockdown. Morning markets, US mixed. S&P was up 0.25%. NASDAQ off 0.4%. Asia is green. Sydney's up a fraction, 0.01. Turkey up 1.1. Commodities mostly green. Gold 1733. Rand 1457. Top 40 looking for a green open, modestly so, 85 points higher or 0.15%.
MoneyWeb Now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Wayne McCurry, Senior Portfolio Manager, F&B Wealth and Investment. Wayne, morning. Appreciate your early morning time. I was mentioning in the intro, U.S. markets, it's both hit highs on Friday. Nasdaq continued it again. Looking at our local market, I don't know, it's looking maybe a little tired after what, truthfully, has been a very strong run since U.S. election time in late October last year.
Now, look, Simon, it has been strong. I mean, you think that our market sitting in May last year was at 50,000. You know, it hit almost 70,000 a couple of weeks ago. So it has been very, very strong. And in fact, we got almost 5 years return in 5 months sort of thing. But yes, now look, year to date, it has obviously it peaked at the end of March, you know, close to that 70,000. And it's sitting now just above 66,000. And I don't know. Okay. There's only one sector that can drive the market forward, and that is the SA Inc. shares, because mm-hmm. the resource shares, I mean, they've had a massive run and the valuations are very, very high. And we know that resources are cyclical. I mean, these are heavily cyclical companies. And if we take into account literally what they've done over the last year or so, I mean, the resource index has gone from, call it 40,000 at the beginning of 40,000 at the beginning of 2019, mm-hmm. that hit 70,000. I mean, that's almost doubling.
Yeah.
And how much more can you expect? And when you look at actual resource prices, you know, the price of the underlying commodities, you know, the industrial commodities, which is oil and copper and all of those things, that's more than doubled, you know, in the last 2 years. So how much more can you expect, to be honest?
So that takes the point. I mean, resources done that, perhaps their heavy lifting. The SA Inc. Yes. I mean, reports yesterday that Sun International had their first foreign tourists since March of last year. I mean, we're going to start to see that opening up happening. We've seen the retailers, and perhaps, I mean, some of them have run quite markedly, but again, off very, very deflated prices, and perhaps still some
very
opportunity there. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the global economy, you must understand that we are going to have a stonking year. Mm-hmm. I mean, the global economy is going to grow roughly by twice what it lost last year. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be an astonishing recovery. So it might be slow until the vaccine rolls out It might only pick up truly in the second half. But South Africa, we won't get that all this year because of our local rollout conditions.
Mm-hmm.
But it's coming. Yeah. You know, we should have, I mean, this year, even though we shrank 7 last year, this year we're still growing by 4% or maybe even higher. I mean, when last did we see, the last time we saw 4% growth, we ran out of electricity.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was the previous crisis.
15 years ago,
yeah. And in a sense, almost we're going to find that we're between two stools. The resources have perhaps run. The SA Inks, vaccines are still a bit away for us locally. So kind of maybe that breather as we sort of find our direction later in the year.
Yeah, but you must remember there, the SA Inc shares,
mm-hmm.
you know, these are not at big valuations, you know, so there is still a possibility that they can run reasonably hard.
Yeah.
You know, if you take my own company, FirstRand,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the price earnings ratio on normalized earnings, which is, in other words, earnings that are going to show in, let's say, by the end of this year, I mean, this is single digit.
Yeah. And that's proper cheap. I mean, I remember we were at those levels.
It's single digit.
Yeah. And back in the 08 crisis, it was single digit.
Yeah, 08 crisis, it was single digit. Yeah.
That's Wayne McCurry, Senior Portfolio Manager, FNB Wealth and Investments. Appreciate your early morning time, sir.
You've worked hard to accumulate wealth. But with these uncertain times, how can you preserve and grow your wealth in a safer place?
Offshore.
While earning regular quarterly dividends in US dollars. The solution is here. Hundreds of investors from across South Africa are investing in specialized medical real estate in the USA, sourced by a highly skilled team who make it easy for you. Orbvest SA, an authorized FSP.
Visit orbvest.com.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting now with Vikas Furstenberg, he's head interest rate process at Future Growth. Vikas, appreciate your time. A note that came out from Future Growth with yourself and colleagues just last week. We really saw wild action in the U.S. 10-year treasuries in February, March. I mean, typically, treasuries are not disrespect, but they're slow and stodgy. And it was really a little bit crazy. I mean, largely worries about inflation, positive economic outlook, and some really significant moves happening.
Good morning, Simon. Yes, indeed. You know, it's one of those things. When you look at our own sort of fair value estimates, we're always stuck to sort of levels around 2% for the US 10-year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, until recently, before the sell-off, it went as low as 0.5%. and now, you know, it's like one of those things. You know, we all know something needs to give. We're all waiting for that something, and then, you know, there's one or two big players that starts sort of like, you know, it serves as a catalyst or almost for a move, and then suddenly sort of like the wall breaks. And I think that's typically sort of like one of those things, what we would call a mini taper tantrum.
Mm-hmm.
You probably heard of that in the way back in 2000, when it was 2013, when Bernanke sort of, you know, indicated that they're going to sort of start sort of normalizing policy in the United States. Then that sort of led to a global surge in yields. And we've seen some of that in the U.S. and elsewhere as well. Obviously, it sort of filtered through to South Africa. So in a way, you know, it's not a surprise. The timing tends to sort of be a surprise. But I think the local market, in a way, probably overreacted a bit, especially at the front end, because, yes, we all know inflation in the United States, elsewhere, and in South Africa, the next 2 months or so is going to spike. In SA, 2 months' time, in the U.S., you know, we're going to see data today. But it's because of the low base that was created last year by that collapse in oil prices, and obviously a few other things as well. So in a way, the market knows it, but the market also doesn't know it. And then, you know, the market tends to reposition, and it happens in sort of a flash. And I think that's typically what I think that was happen in quarter one as well.
And I take your point. I mean, it was a bit of a tender tantrum. It was quite something. It was a bit of a spectacular to watch. I mean, you mentioned that inflation. I mean, as you say, it's a low base, particularly the fuel price. I mean, you know, Brent was in the teens. I mean, West Texas for a moment there went negative. We kind of know it's coming, and it's not structural inflation in a sense. It really is just it's fuel. We can see it. It shouldn't be surprising or spooking the market.
You see, that's the thing, and that's what central banks are trying to sort of do. I mean, Powell and Key, they try their best to sort of like, just sort of keep the market in the loop in terms of this is the way we look at things. Yes, we can also get it wrong. I mean, should never sort of forget the fact that they're also sort of working on forecasts, and we know that the United States wants to sort of have inflation higher, closer to the 2% level. For instance, today, we should focus on core inflation. Today, headline CPI in the United States is going to spike to, say, 2.5, but core is going to hover somewhere around 1.5. And I think that's what we need to focus on. And locally, the governor of the South African Reserve Bank also made it very clear that, guys, we all expect this. We all expect the year-on-year rate could, to go as high as 4.5 or so. But what we tend to do is we focus on post this adjustment, in a way, normalization of the rate, and do we expect SA inflation to hit to the bad old days where we saw it at 5-6%? And at this point, Simon, we do not expect that. We expect inflation to hover somewhere between 4-4.5 post the the jump that you're going to see with, I think, the main number.
Yeah, and
I think that's the focus. That should be the focus. Is that how much of that is like, it's a relative price change, and it's base effects, and how much of that will lead to proper ugly inflation, how much of that pass-through will take place to the end consumer.
Yeah, and at 4-4.5, that's smack bang in the Reserve Bank's target range, which then brings the point, our local market seems to be pricing in, fairly aggressive rate increases later in the year. The data that you're suggesting, if our inflation's in the mid of that zone, I'm not sure we get rate increases necessarily this year at all.
No, I tend to agree. I think the forward rate agreement market, the market you refer to, certainly very aggressive, but that market tends to also reflect tantrums. it sees direction and then it starts pricing it and then it overreacts, and we disagree with the extent of the policy tightening that market, that forward market, is pricing at the moment. And obviously we will take positions against that as well if we feel strongly about that. I just think that it's overly aggressive. And I think, in a way, we're going to see growth picking up significantly, even if you sort of go to a very bullish number of 5% for this year.
Mm.
I mean, remember last year we were still down 7%. And, there's like, and if inflation isn't that much of an issue, so the central bank has got scope to sort of like just, keep the foot off the pedal for now. Why be aggressive if inflation is not going to, underlying inflation is not going to be the big issue?
Yeah, and I don't know if it's a key point here. It's that underlying, it's that core inflation. Focus on that number. Vikas Furstenberg, Head Interest Rate Process, Future Growth. Appreciate your early morning.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
I'm chatting with Josiah Rudolph. He's head of quantitative research at Anchor Stockbrokers. Josiah, appreciate your time. We want to be delving into value versus momentum. Before we do, a lot of talk around value stocks. My sense is you are a quantitative researcher. You use a pure sort of quantitative methodology to determine what would or wouldn't be a value stock, or any other methodology for that matter.
Yes, Simon. Yeah. Firstly, thank you for having me. The value factor that we're talking about is correctly purely quantitatively defined.
Mm-hmm.
We use a combination of book value, EV to EBITDA, as well as sales, cash flow, dividend and earnings yields to define value in South Africa.
Okay, so it's sort of broadly the stock standards. What we have seen is that we've seen value, I mean, really having its day in the sun. Your note you put out said last 5 months, it's up 32%, momentum down 23%. This is not normally what we see. I mean, typically momentum wins the day, but we have had that period in the sun for the value stocks.
Yes, this is true. In South Africa, it is rare that value outperforms for extended periods of time. If you look at value performance in aggregate over the last 10 years, it has delivered actually no alpha in South Africa. Ouch. On the other hand, if you look at momentum and growth, they have both delivered 19.6 and 12.5% per annum, respectively. However, I think it's, you know, the magnitude and speed with which these shifts to value happen that almost always catches investors off guard. And this is the most recent experience is no exception.
Yeah, I take your point there. It is sudden. I mean, if I'd been having a conversation 6 months ago, I don't think there were many people out there who were saying, you know, put your money into value, because it does. It almost turns on a dime in a sense. I mean, the question then is we've seen this value go. It doesn't typically hold. Burning question for an investor is how do we react? I mean, can value continue to have its day in the sun?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well typically the average duration of a value rally is around sort of 14 months measured from trough to peak.
Mm-hmm.
The current cycle began in March last year. We would argue then that maybe we have one or two more months left to the current cycle. That being said, the current value rally has exceeded the 15-year peak by about 22% and is currently looking stretched at these levels. The same conclusion can be drawn if you look at it in the context of sort of cross-sectional correlations between mm-hmm. momentum and value. Value is certainly looking overextended. So we would argue that now represents a good time to at least cut back some exposure to value in favor of momentum and low volatility.
I want to come to that in a sec. I mean, in essence, what you're suggesting and what your note certainly implied is that value is typically that winner in the recovery stage of an economic cycle. You mentioned March of last year. We'd had the sell-off. We'd had the COVID panic. In hindsight, we now know March was the bottom. And would that typically be when value picks up?
Yes. So in our analysis, which was done from 1999 to date, we show that value outperformance is largely confined to the recovery phase of the economic cycle. In fact, of the 256 months analyzed, only 13 months can actually be defined as recovery. And this is where almost all value outperformance is concentrated. So value is really a factor that is important to own over a short period of time. And the rest of the time, other factors will typically sort of provide better returns.
What Rosa then saying, and this is way easy to say compared to do, is that when one is sitting in a severe market downturn like we saw last year and many other before it, is when we're looking what to be getting into, we should actually be hunting out those value stocks. And we're going to mistime it by a bit, but we're going to be in that right space as that recovery in the economic cycle kicks off.
Yes. So I mean, in our paper, we considered a number of different approaches to style timing mm-hmm. or timing value in this context, and if we sort of look across the different models that we considered, most of them generally agree that we're moving into a kind of expansion phase of the cycle. And if you look at economic forecasts, that seems to support this view. I mean, if that is the case, one would argue that we should be holding a sort of combination of momentum, low risk, and quality type exposures. I think to sort of premise that, you know, momentum is really a sort of catch-all for all the top-performing styles
yeah.
and would likely just be a combination of the other factors that I mentioned.
Okay, that's a great point. Because momentum is really, more than anything, it's that price movement. I mean, I love momentum when I'm on the right side of it. But you also put in there, you know, go find those quality stocks now, perhaps those lower volatilities. Perhaps it's their time in the sun and they're going to be those momentum stocks for the period going forward.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, we've already seen, you know, some of the value stocks move into that momentum basket. And you know, the value now becomes momentum. Mm-hmm. And then you see the sort of rotation effect in styles.
Joshua Rudolph, appreciate the time. Head of Quantitative Research, Anchor Stockbrokers. I like that point we made there, that when markets are collapsing, we all want to know what should we be buying. And I remember last year everyone went and bought Sasol, not me, everybody else. But it's those value stocks. That's perhaps where we find it. Not for the entire process, but certainly for that initial recovery. Really appreciate the time today. The show is brought to you by Orbvest's latest investment opportunity, Medical 32. A multi-tenanted Class A medical office building located in Jacksonville, Florida. For more information, visit orbvest.com. Orbvest SA is an authorized financial services provider, license number 50483. The question we're asking you today on our Twitter account at MoneyWeb, the March MPC voted unanimously to keep rates unchanged. Chatting with Vickers earlier, bond market looking for rate increases. I'm not convinced. What is your take on it? No chance, very likely, or need more data? I think no chance of rate going up this year. That's it for today. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available from 7 a.m. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie, Cordora, Nicole, Matapelo, for you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.